I'm blessed by just the revelation that God gives us, and I'm in a place of appreciating them more. What do I mean by that? We hear great stuff here. We learn a lot of stuff here, and then we have to leave here and face the world system with what we hear. And that's when we start to find out if it's something we heard or something we received. Think about what I just said. Let that marinate a few seconds. It's a common thing for church folk to say when they hear a positive word or a word that blesses or speaks to them, "I received that." My question going forward is going to be, do you really? Are you really receiving, or are you saying, "Ooh, I like the way that sounds. Ooh, I like that." But do you receive it? Because if you receive it, then what you're saying to me is, soon to come, there should be a manifestation. Yes. See, it's the time you hear a word from the Lord, and it bears witness. But sometimes it takes a while for you to receive it, and it officially becomes your word. How many times have we received a word from the Lord, and we fought against the word from the Lord, even though we received the word, so we say, from the Lord, because it did not line up with the circumstances that faced us immediately? Was that clear enough? How many times have I heard a word from God and my heart bore witness with the word, but then I immediately begin to measure the word that God spoke against what life was saying to me and begin to disqualify the word of God based on what life was saying? Did I lose anyone? Cheryl says so I'll explain it. When you hear the word and your heart bears witness with it, you believe in your heart, although this is the word of God, but then you immediately begin to go, "But how could that possibly happen for me? Because one, I don't have enough education. Two, I don't know enough people." Three, and you begin to qualify the word God spoke against the things or the experiences of your life. And before you know it, you begin to disqualify God's word according to the things that you understand and know to be truth. Okay? So everybody understands what I'm talking about now. And I've done it. Start to look at my changed purse and see how much I have, and not to look at God's account and see what he has. So I begin to disqualify what God said based on what I can see. The problem is then people come up with sayings like, or will come up with scriptural lines like, "Well, whose report shall you believe?" And you correctly say, I would believe the report of the Lord. But the truth is, you believe the report, but not of the Lord. Because life is challenging the Lord's report. So I began to kind of have a conversation with myself. And there's a reason why I said it that way. Because there's times I say, I had a talk with the Lord, and me and the Lord was talking. And then sometime this week, God said to me, "That's not us. That's you talking to you. You're not talking to me right now. You're reasoning in your own intellect, and you're saying you're having a conversation with me, but you're really talking to you." See, God's dialogues are pretty straightforward. "Rise up, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. You should go take the city as one man." He said, "Well, Lord, how can I do that? I'm weak and I'm strong." And you will take the city. I'm out. And God just kind of checks out. I told you what I'm doing. So I'm not negotiating. You either line up or you don't. And if you want to go all around the world and come up with 5 or 60 different other plans, when you finish 5, 10 years from now, and you come back to me, I'm going to resubmit to you the plan I gave you 5 years ago. We laugh at that and go, why do people do that? But what you really should say is, why do I do that? You know, we freak out about the 40 years that Israel took around Cana, but we do it. So, I want to, as we're still dealing with the character of God, I want to deal with the definiteness of the word. I want to put it like this. I want to deal with, I'm using Jesus as my example, as we should. And I'm looking at, I guess I would call it the cockiness of Jesus. The confidence of him. The nerve of him. The things he had, the audacity to say. Now we look at it now and go, yeah, well that was Jesus. So, you know, it's Jesus. But see, the people then, even the disciples didn't really understand who he was. So when he was saying the things he was saying, which were very unorthodox and went against their religious understanding, it was the nerve of him. They picked up stones a couple of times to kill him. They wanted to throw him off a cliff one time, remember? Those of you who actually read the Bible, they walked him to the end of the cliff, and the scripture said, and he walked right through them. So it doesn't explain it, but I'm guessing he just disappeared, cloaked himself, and walked through, and nobody saw him. I mean, you took him up to the cliff. You know who you're throwing off. It was another time when they were, if you don't know that story, you can look it up. There was another time where they came to Jesus in the night. This is after Judas betrayed him. And Jesus said, "Who seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "I am he." And they all fell over backwards. And after they got back on their feet again, he said, "Who do you come here to seek?" Like they forgot, what was he here for? He had to remind them. So, yeah, but that was Jesus. Aren't you his body? Did he not say, "The works that I do, you should do also"? I've heard stories of things like this in the lives of people who dare to believe that those things would happen. You didn't catch me. Let me say it again. I've seen some things in my life similar to some of these stories, but I've heard stories of other people who are bold enough to trust God on his word on other levels, step out and see these kind of moves that blow the minds of the average person. Here's my question. Is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Does he then still do now what he did then? Two people said yes. Let me not say does. Because people maybe get a little nervous about the question, the way I'm asking it. Can he still do it? Won't he do it? Okay. He can do it still, yes? So if he's not still doing it, then the question is why? I submit to you, in my trip to Africa and some of the things I saw, I'm promising you he's still doing it. So the question next would be, why isn't he doing it for me? That's the next question. What do you think might be a good answer to why aren't we seeing that in our lives? Those kind of moves, those kind of supernatural interventions that you know only God could do. Oh no, Pastor, I know. I remember I didn't figure out how I was going to pay my rent. And then somebody called me up and told me I could come clean their house. And then I had the money. That's not the kind of stuff we're talking about. Amen for that. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those things that cannot even be humanly explained. I'm talking about those moves where you go, no, there's no way, and everybody around you, not just you, is saying there's no way that could have happened apart from some kind of intervention that go, if they didn't even believe in God. Something just happened right here that goes beyond what we can understand. Maybe I need to question God's existence. So, my question is, what was it about Jesus in his walk that we're separating ourselves from? This is too far forward, but I'll work with it. Let me see. Yeah, it's pretty good. What is it about Jesus' confidence in who God was and what God would do for him that we've kind of swept away in church services, in songs and dances and emotional thrills that we get that only work in church but don't work outside of church? Why doesn't the word work outside of church anymore? Because our Savior didn't roll in church circles, and he was bringing something to the circles when he did come that most of the church folk were not in agreement with at all. He went against their flow totally. But he came and he disrupted things. Having a tech business for a season, I remember the word came up a lot in conversation about disruptive technology. How many of you have heard that phrase before? How many of you know what it means? You do, Lindsay, because you worked with me. I'll toss out a hint and then see if you can figure it out. The most successful technologies are disruptive technologies. The iPod would be a disruptive technology. Can you think of maybe why? Huh? Explain. Change the game. Explain. Okay, she's saying because nobody had a device with music on it. But that's not what made it disruptive. That's what made it unique and different. What made it disruptive? Yeah, kind of, but what made it disruptive? It shook up the average, but what made it disruptive? You're all saying stuff at the door, but nobody's coming in. What made it disruptive? Where's the whiz? Where's Virgin Records? Where's all the record stores and record companies that once exist? How many stores shut down as a result of this technology? It disrupted the system. It broke the status quo. There's no more record stores. Camera stores, for the most part, are kind of going out of business. For the most part, unless you really make some high-end cameras, your little pocket digital camera no longer exists. Remember the one that had the little waterproof one you could get? That then you send the whole camera in. All that, the film industry no longer exists. You follow what I'm saying? It's disruptive. It changed the game, yes, but it changed the game by removing the status quo that existed and created something that totally was not seen or ever seen before. Changed everything. Jesus was disruptive. He was disruptive technology right there. He was disruptive. He came and turned over their tables and whipped them out and did things. They said, you're not supposed to do that on the Sabbath. He messed up their whole flow with a new and better flow that still exists and people are still using to this day. What are we doing today As a church, that's disruptive. Not a thing. From what I'm seeing, the church people are making gospel records that sound like secular records because they try to be catch up with the secular world by doing gospel music that sound like Genuine or somebody. Because, no, I'm not trying to diss. I'm just really making a point. So, you know, when Ray Charles came out, come on now, they was mad. Wait, you taking the church music? That music belonged to the church. Now the church is taking us. So what happened? What happened? What does the church originate now? How is the church disruptive? Where's the boldness that the church once had that we made decisions and did things that made the world have to stop and go? Even if I don't believe what you're saying, there's something about what you're doing that I have to pay attention to. So when Jesus makes the statement, if you can't believe me for the words that I say, then believe me for the works you see me do. What Jesus said was, yeah, my word is solid, but if that's not enough for you, I have some actions that supersede what I say. Or the old saying, actions speak louder than words. I want to know from the church, where's the actions? Oh, people know, obviously, and I pray for people all the time. Okay, I got that. Not knocking any of that. And let me just preface this by saying, this is what I'm asking for me. You can accept it if you want, or just stay regular. It's fine with me. I'm just telling you where I am at this season. So let's go to this verse. Let's go back to John 10. Let me know when you're there. Okay. Everybody's there? John chapter 10. We're moving on now. I'm at verse 14. Last week we did 13. He said, I am the good shepherd, and I know and recognize my own. Now, this is the point I want to put with this. My own and my own know and recognize me. You know what I read out of that scripture? If I could translate that to modern day, real recognize real. Jesus said, I know mine, and mine know me. And real neck recognize real, and game recognize game, and you ain't part of the game. He said, I know my sheep, and they know me. They recognize me. So he went from saying, my sheep know my voice, which we did last week, and the voice of a stranger they don't follow. They know my voice, but we want to say they know the other voices, but they don't follow them. And we identify that sometimes the voice of the stranger is just your own voice, correct? Now, then he went on to say, and I recognize them, and they recognize me. Stay with me. So now we're going beyond knowing a voice. Now we're going beyond recognizing a sound. We're going into recognizing the person. How many of you recognize me? How many of you would recognize me if I was across the street? How many of you recognize me even if you couldn't really see me close, but you saw me walking up the block and go, that's his walk? There's some of you that say, nah, I knew that was you from down. Just Jeff said, yeah, but I saw the way I saw you coming down the block. I knew that was you. So there's a recognition. If you don't hear my voice, if you could see me from across the street, and but you're not really sure, and you see movement and characteristics, you go, that's him. That's him. I know that's him. Mike, I can sometimes spot you way down the block because of the outfit. I'm like, that's Mike. Them colors right there, that's Mike. You understand what I'm saying? You recognize your peoples. You know them, you recognize them. Do we recognize Jesus? I ain't say church. I say Jesus. Otherwise, when somebody come to you and say something, do you recognize, even if you're trying to quote scripture, that ain't his spirit? No, that ain't the Lord. That ain't the Lord. What you just said right there is not God. Why? Because that's not his voice. Even the tone you said it in was wrong. I know that wasn't God because nothing about my spirit bore witness with that. Yes? Stay with me. But they quoted the scripture. Read a whole prophecy off a page. But your spirit did not bear witness. So Jesus came bringing stuff that went against their religion, against everything they believed. And they had trouble with it. Oh, Jesus. Because it went against their religion, but they didn't recognize his voice. Because if they knew his voice, Jesus said, you're not of my father, you're of your father the devil. Because if you were of my father, you would know me and you would recognize me. There's something more to just hearing his voice. It's recognizing his move. Jesus, help me explain this to them. Because this is a season I'm working through in my own life. God, can I recognize your move even when it goes against what my mind has accepted as fact or religiously correct? Watch this. Even as truly as the Father knows me, and I also know the Father, and I am giving my very own life and laying it down on behalf of the sheep, and I have other sheep beside these that are not of this fold, I must bring and impel those also, that they may will also listen to my voice and heed my call, so that they will be and will become one flock under one shepherd. For this reason, my Father loves me, because I lay down my own life and take it back again. Is Jesus dead yet? Has he been killed yet? No, he's talking. He's alive. Listen to me. Listen to me. Because you'll hear me reading that and you'll go, yep. That's what Jesus did. I need you to get in the mindset of the people that he's saying this to. He's not dead yet. They're not even of the real understanding of the fact that he's going to die for them. Come on, saints, go with me. Go with me. This is important. I need you to put yourself in the mindset of who's talking to them, who they perceive him to be, and what he's saying, and how everything he's saying goes against everything they know and believe, religiously, traditionally. He's standing to me, I'm going to die for you. I lay down my life for you. He's saying that he laid down my life, and they're looking at him like, you're standing right there. You ain't laid out no life. You right there. That's like if I stood in front of you and said, guys, I laid down my life for you. You'd be like, no, you didn't. You standing right there. You alive and breathing. I see you. What life you laid down? Yeah, you did some things. You ministered to us. You did some miracles. We seen you turn water into wine, and we seen you make fish and bread and loaves and all that kind of stuff. We seen you heal some people, but you ain't laid down no life. You standing right there. What am I talking about? The ability to see what God is doing beyond what's right in front of you. I started the message by saying you immediately begin to weigh what God has said against the things that life is showing you, and you begin to disqualify what God has said based on what you're seeing. Jesus is standing in front of them saying, I laid down my life for you. And in their minds, they got to be like, what is he talking about? And wait a minute, isn't Messiah supposed to come and restore our former victory and glory to what we had, what we believed, what we had before the Romans were in charge? And wasn't he supposed to just come and beat them up and make us in charge again? This is what they were thinking. That when Messiah comes, we're going to take over again. We're going to be the Israel that beat Goliath and the Philistines and everything, and we're going to take over and we're going to run Rome. Now all their temples will be ours, and now we can worship their idols. We're going to be the bosses. We're going to run stuff. Side journey. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but yeah, but what the heck. I always ask this question when I'm talking to my own. They talk about white privilege and blacks being this, and if we was in charge, and I say, if you were in charge, then you'd be them. Because right away in your mind, you're thinking, if we were in charge, then we would subjugate them, and then we would be killing them off, and we would be running stuff. So what you're offering is no better. You're asking if you can become what you hate. You want to now be the oppressor. You want to run the prisons and throw all of them in there. How is that any better? We don't want to be them. We want to be him. And Jesus came and they immediately thought they were going to take over. And Jesus said, I didn't come here to take over in the realm in which Satan is God of. I came to reestablish the realm that we're supposed to be in control in. And that realm has power over this realm, but that realm is governed by the love and power of God, not by the rule and control of man. I'm going to say that again. That realm is controlled by the love and power of God, not the rule or control of man. Let me say that one more time. The realm that Jesus came to restore is the realm that's controlled by the love and power of God, not the power of man. So he's saying there's a realm that we function in that is not controlled by this realm. And if we tap into that realm, we have power over this present realm. So these points I'm making are key for a reason. This is more of an educational thing today than a shouting thing. You may shout a little bit if you really catch where I'm going, but I want you to catch what's happening here. He's talking about the sheep knowing his voice, then he's talking about the sheep recognizing him. So that means for me to flow in this power and this dimension that I'm called to flow in, then there needs to be a better knowing. We all agreed a couple of weeks ago that that was the case, right? That we all need to know his voice, yes? We need to know his voice better. We know and know what voice not to follow and not to be influenced by, right? How many of you have prayerfully considered that during the course of this past week or two, that, yes, I need to hear better? It's important now. We've come to the realization that we need to hear better than we do, but now we need to also recognize his move when he moves. We need to recognize what his presence feels like in a situation, even if it's going the way we want it to go. Or not going the way we want it to go. Pay attention to what I just said. I need to recognize his movement even when it doesn't seem to be going the way I thought it should go. Or when it looks like everything is going right, exactly the way I want it to go, I still need to be able to step back and go, yeah, I don't trust this because I don't feel his presence. See, because when things are going good, we don't challenge it. When things are going the way we think they should go, we don't challenge that. Am I wrong? Now look at me. Am I wrong? Do we challenge things when it's going the way we want them to go? Should we? Should we? Listen to me. There was a situation where Paul and Silas were walking around and this woman started following them, remember? How many of you know the story? And what was the woman saying? These are the men of God. You need to listen to them. Listen to these men. These are the men of God. Come to teach us the way. Everybody, and she's going throughout the town, and she's popular, and she's famous. She got a big Instagram following, so she's an influencer. They want her to go in front of them and let everybody know that they're the new hot new thing. And she's saying, these are the men of God come to show us the way. Hear ye them. Everything is working out. She's the head spiritualist in town. She's telling everybody that they need to listen to them. And Paul's walking around, and she's doing this for 3 days, And something grieves Paul. And he ordains her as a prophetess and let her go forward and lead the ministry. Most churches would have, though. He was grieved by her, and he turned to her and said to the demon to come out of her. He recognized it was a demonic spirit, and he can't. But it was helping, though. She was getting the word out. She was helping the ministry grow. Shouldn't you just left that demon alone? It was serving a godly purpose. That's how church folk reason. But it helps you get to the end that you want, so isn't it good? No. All things work together for the good, right? He turned and he cast the demon out. And the town then got very upset because they made a lot of money off of this woman. So now she didn't have her spirit of divination anymore, and it messed up their money. So here's what I'm trying to say to you. So sometimes even a demon can tell the truth. But what's the end game? So I asked the Lord, me, you know, being those of you who know me, I don't take anything for granted. Why did they do that? This is when I was a young Christian. Why did they do that? I want to know. Like, they cast the demon out. Why did they do that? And God said to me, what if the next witches and warlocks came to the town and she's now hosting for them? They've gained her confidence. And they let her validate them. So what stops her from validating the next lie or spirit that comes to town? So he shut it down. Recognizing him comes down to that. Just because it seems good and feels good doesn't mean that you're supposed to just follow it because it's going your way. That's what recognizing him means. Not, oh yeah, I saw him across the street, that's Jesus. No, I mean recognizing, yeah, that's not how you move. Or my heart don't feel right with that. Or, you know, I don't feel right with that, but my heart bears witness. Is this helping somebody? Okay, let's keep it moving. We'll bring it home now. So he said, I have other sheep beside these that are not a part of this fold. So he's talking to a bunch of Jewish followers right now, letting them know that there are going to be others that's going to come, which we see later on in the book of Acts, that he has to then begin to say to him, no, don't throw out the Gentiles. They're accepting me and they're coming in too. So he's saying to them, I have sheep that are not of this fold that I must bring and impel them also. And they will listen to my voice and heed my call. And so they will be, and they will become one flock under one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life, my own life, and I bring it back again. Ready for this? No one takes it away from me. On the contrary, I lay it down voluntarily. I put it from myself. I am authorized to have power to lay it down and to resign it. And I'm also authorized to have the power to take it back again. These are the instructions which I have received as my charge from my Father. Stay with me. Was it clear at that point that they wanted Jesus dead and they wanted him out the way? Yes or no? Yes? Was it pretty clear from the beginning that Jesus was a disruption and they wanted him gone? That he was messing up the flow of their business and things and everything else and they wanted him dead? Is this clear enough? How is he outwardly saying and nobody's picking it up or catching it, no one takes my life, but on my own accord I lay it down? And they're all standing around going, oh, no, we want to take your life. And he's saying to them, no, you can't. It's not going to happen until I lay it down. And then I'll pick it back up when I'm ready. And they still didn't get it. You stand in front of somebody and they got a gun aimed at you and you say to them, you know, nobody takes my life. I lay it down when I'm ready. Give me, please don't kill me. Oh my God, Jesus, help me, Lord. What kind of arrogance and cockiness was this? And how could he be so arrogant and so cocky in a situation like that? I was in situations like that. Man. God. Wow. I was in situations like that before I knew Jesus. And if you're not from the streets, you don't relate to this. But there was the street wisdom. It ain't my time to go. Can't nobody kill me. It ain't my time. See, Cheryl, understand, right? So I walked up on people like that with guns in my face and said, if it ain't my time, you can't take me. And I was like, what happened after I got saved? All of a sudden, we're afraid of it. When I didn't have the authority to walk in that, and it worked. Because according to my faith, it worked. I'm still here. I ain't shot. Jesus, knowing who he served and where he came from, listen to me. Listen to me. Pay attention. Mike, where are you? Listen to me. Jesus, because of his relationship with the Father, understood his destiny to the point that nothing could move it. Are you getting it now? Including his life being taken. He understood his destiny to the point he knew his Father's voice. He said that. He understood and recognized his Father's move. You understand? That he knew that anything that went against what his Father said, he didn't even have to be affected by. So here's my question, and here's where I bring it home. What is it that we know that God has said about us that we can anchor ourselves in and stop being moved? And if you don't know what he said, then that's the problem. You don't know his voice. You don't recognize his move. And so anything that looks like a move, you get moved by it. Like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man believe he received anything from the Lord. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And I took that scripture for so many years the wrong way. Here's how I took it. Because you're wavering and you're double-minded. God don't like you and he's disgusted with you and he ain't going to do nothing for you. Don't let that man believe he's going to receive anything from the Lord. That's how I heard it preached. Anything from the Lord. The Lord don't give do nothing for you. You your double-minded, good-for-nothing self. And as I started listening to this word that God was giving me and showing me, he said, no, I'm not saying I'm not going to do anything from you or you're not going to receive anything from me because I'm so disgusted with you. I'm not going to bless you. I'm not going to be able to keep you in a place long enough to receive what I have for you because you're going to keep moving over here, and I'm going to drop the blessing here and you're going to be over there. And I'm going to drop it on you over there and you're going to move over here. And you don't stay still long enough in my word and in my purpose to let the dressing come down on you. These blessings shall come on you and overtake you. They can't come on you because you keep moving. He said, if I can just get you to be still in what I said and recognize my move long enough and know my voice, you'll stay right where the blessing shows up and it'll be there. But we pushed back and forth by every wind of doctrine. Everything gives it. We go with some prophet, prophesy over us and tell us, and I see the Lord doing this, and all of a sudden you run it off. Wait a minute, what does that have to do with what God has spoken over you your whole life? They're speaking to a now situation. Oh, I see you're struggling with your bills. Okay, so why is that a focus? Get where he's called you to be. I've had somebody say to me, I see God is going to do a work for you in your finances. I see you struggling with things. I look around and say, no, I'm not. I don't know who that word for, but that ain't for me. I see you going through some hard times. No, I'm not. You're just using that because that's regular. Right. That usually works for most people. You can just throw that out there in the church. That just works for anybody. I see you going through something. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Sometimes I don't want to embarrass him. I just put my head down and just go, Jesus, help. Lord, please make him shut up before I have to check him, please. And I've had them do that, too. They just stop talking. They just say, amen, thank you, Jesus, and move on to somebody else. Like, y'all keep saying on me talking this crap. I might have to call you out in front of everybody, so please stop. And I tell you, put your head down. Don't let them look in your eyes because they're looking to see if they get a reaction. And they see you do this, they go, oh, yeah, I got a good one, okay. And I see there's troubles in your home, in your job. I said, just look down. Don't let them see your face. Just bow your head, close your eyes. And let them stagger around trying to figure out where you're at. Jesus. We're supposed to recognize him. We're supposed to not just know his voice, but recognize his presence, his move. And we're supposed to sense that even when it looks like it's going our way. To be able to stop and say, come out, you wicked spirit, because that you're trying to lead me into some deception. I believe God put that person there to help me. I didn't ask you what you believe. I asked you what he said. Quiet now. I don't care what you felt. What did he say? What did he say? You know his voice. You recognize his move. What did he say? And so I'm going to bring it home here. Jesus had the boldness to say, no man takes my life. When the time comes, I lay it down. Why? Because this situation does not have control over me. Only the word God spoke over me has control. Only the word God said has control. Nothing else does. If I say this, I may lose everything. Did God give it to you? Yeah. Then how are you going to lose it? What man going to take from you what God gave you? Some people have jobs and I don't want to do this because is God telling you to do it? Yeah, but I can lose my job. Did God tell you to do it? Then you're not losing your job. You just gave that job authority. Say this with me. I know the Father's voice. I know the voice of my shepherd. I do not listen to the voice of a stranger. Be it a spirit, my own self, my own flesh, or the devil personally. I know their voices too. But I know the voice of the shepherd. And I listen to it. And I recognize him in all my situations. And I recognize him in all my situations. And I recognize when it's not him in all my situations. And no man takes my life, my vision, my purpose, why God put me here. But when God says so, then I, of my own choice, and only then lay it down. You understand? That's a bold statement, but I just made it. How many of you stand by it? Jesus. Just begin to talk to him about it right now. Just take a minute and just talk to the Father about it. Let it minister to you. Let it speak to your spirit. Father, bless these people. Bless those watching. Bless those sitting here. Let the truth penetrate into the innermost parts of our being. And let us become enlightened in a different presence and in a different way. We refuse to be pushed around by circumstance and every wind that blows. We know your voice. We recognize your move. And no one interferes with your flow. This is a powerful thing. And we trust you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Let me just read this last verse, the verse right underneath that. And it said, and a division of opinion rose amongst the Jews because of him saying these things. Disruption. Even the Jews now were at odds because what he said was, nobody takes my life to them. I'll take it, I'll lay it down when I'm ready and I'll take it back when I want. And it said, and a division of opinion rose amongst the Jews because of him saying these things. Verse 19. A division rose amongst the Jews because he said this. And many of them said, he has a demon, and he is mad and insane. He raves and he rambles. Why do you listen to him? See what it is? Disruption. How dare him have the audacity to say this? But then others argued, these are not the thoughts and the language of one possessed. Can a demon-possessed man, person open the blind eyes? Disruption. Those said what he's saying is crazy. And others said, but what he's doing, he can't be that crazy. You can't believe the words I say, believe the works you see me do. I want to say this with you, to you, and I want to say it with you. My actions
will speak louder than my words.
People will see the power of God flows through and with me.